You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we continue here on the second hour. More of your phone calls. We had Brian Kelly on, Trinity Thomas. It was quite a first hour, and we hope you have been here the whole way. Let's get back to the calls, and Rick is in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Oh, Paul. I was going to talk to you about Tim Tebow and Herschel Walker. Can you imagine them two in the backfield together?
That would have been, I mean, they played certainly 20-some-odd years apart, but that would have been a pretty pretty powerful operation. Yeah,
I mean,
anyone in the backfield with Herschel would have been crazy, and Tebow speaks for itself.
Yeah. And I was listening there to Brian Kelly. It's funny how he mentioned Georgia and Alabama. But he didn't say nothing about Tennessee when they whooped the bar out of him down
there. Yeah. I mean, come on. He only lost by 28 to Tennessee, Rick. How about Brandon in Pensacola? Hello, Brandon. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just wanted to kind of touch on Brian Kelly and kind of talk about his honesty about the LSU program. And he wasn't expected to win that first year the way he did, but being a Tiger fan, and I'm happy to see it after Coach Ogeron left. And I just want to see him progress forward and kind of just want to talk on that.
Yeah, Brandon, I was impressed. Confidence, he didn't play the "we don't have a quarterback." He said we had two quarterbacks. He admitted there is a gap, but it's closing. He is the consummate professional and exactly what LSU was looking for because they did not have that prior. Let's continue. G is up next. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Great show. I'm convinced now that folks in Alabama are delusional. You got to be delusional to be a Bama fan. The Brian Kelly piece was phenomenal. As a Bulldog, he concerns me the most of any coach in the country. And I think he's got two quarterbacks that could very well be Heisman candidates. Anyway, the reason I called was the FPI business. And I'm looking at it, and I think the only reason Ohio State is number one is because of their two receivers, which they are great, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to find out that Georgia's got some receivers too. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really eager to hear more explanation because I don't know what went into it, but we have somebody on later that understands it. But I don't think – I mean, I understand why some are a little bit queasy on Georgia. They seem to be the obvious number one pick, and they will be the number one pick. But I could see why a computer might back away from them a little bit. But their schedule doesn't help them. I don't know if that factors into it. They don't have a starter or quarterback that's been there. That could be a factor. Of course, neither does Ohio State or Alabama. So, yeah, I just knocked down my own theory there by talking. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. AC is up next in Canada.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I've been hearing there's a radio station up in Boston, Toucher and Rich. You know, since I'm a free agent, I get to call in whoever, whenever I want to. Matter of fact, I hope they're listening. Pretty soon, I'm going to call them. I'm going to take care of some business for you. Since your callers, they're not going to do it. I'm going to handle the business. Let's face it. Every station has their dedicated callers. I'm a free agent. I get to call in whoever, whenever. So, Toucher and Rich, a call is coming, and it's going to be chaotic. However, Feinbaum, as always, I love you some Feinbaum. Holla.
I'm concerned for AC when he gets on that show. Dub is up next. Hello, Dub. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, sounds like you've got a secret burner there.
Yes.
Hey, this is the guest formerly known as David from Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Well, great to have you back.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be back. I wanted to ask you, after Saturday, I really don't think we're going to know anything about who the starting quarterback's going to be in Alabama after Saturday, but I wanted your opinion. Do you think both of these guys will be on the roster when we go to fall camp?
It's entirely possible one could leave. I think if Saban, if it appears obvious that one is the starting quarterback, then I think the other one could possibly leave. But that would be the only way. It could be that there's no clear winner, and that might keep everybody sticking around.
Right, right. And I wanted to send a message to Aggie Smurf today. I hope he's on hold. I hope you take his call. And I hope he enjoys his wet dreams about Bobby Petrino. See you, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Bryson in Tennessee. Hello, Bryson.
What's going on, General Feinbaum? How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I guess I'll get some comments on Brian Kelly. You made the statement that he's not there in the program with Alabama and LSU yet. And I'm assuming by that he means the state of his program at the moment. Because just 2 years ago, I mean, LSU was the top of the mountain. They ran away from Bama and Georgia. I mean, a lot of these kids that he's recruiting right now was watching Joe Burrow throw them touchdown passes just 2 years ago. I mean, it's not like
it was a little bit more than it was the 2019 season. So this is 23. He's well aware of what happened down there.
He came in after Ogeron went, 5-5 and 6-6. And 22, his past year was Kelly's first year. So, I mean,
Ogeron coached 19, and then 20 was the COVID year, and he got fired after that. And then Brian Kelly came on in 21, and this will be his second season.
What I was just trying to make the point across was, it's not like he's picking up a program
you're 100% correct. I mean, Ogeron was a good coach. And I think people misunderstand. Ogeron was not fired because of a bad season. I mean, Ogeron had so many other things going against him. That's why he got – in a perfect world, he would have kept his job. He would not have been fired that soon after a national championship. Thank you for the call. Rick is in Houston. Rick, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well, Rick. Thank you.
Well, two words I never thought I'd hear on your show, wet dreams. But I wanted to ask you about SEC Nation.
Okay.
And I know it's a while, you know, we still got a while to go, but any idea where you'll start the season off at? And do you think Lara's going to be part of the show this year?
Well, I don't know yet where the season will begin, and I'd have to look at the first week's schedule, and it might be easy and it might not to pick the spot once I look at it, and I will do that. Laura is expected to be there, yeah.
Well, I know she's got her second child coming. And
yeah, the baby is expected in May, so
yep.
Considering she had the last one in October and was back by the end of the month, I can't imagine she won't be around by September.
Now, I know they keep her busy up there in Connecticut, but just wondering, I really enjoy, you know, the Friday SEC Nation shows when you and Laura get together. I think that's the highlight of the show on Fridays during the season.
Well, interestingly, Rick, there are a lot of predictable components to that show. We try to talk to the coach or the athletic director or the president or some reporter, but that is Well, even though we talk to her every week, it is utterly bizarre. It's 15 minutes of, it's like being, remember when you were a kid and you went to the fair and you got on the roller coaster? I mean, up and down, I realized there are 1,000 rides more exciting now than the old roller coaster, but as a kid, and you're 7 years old and you don't think you're going to, that's what that is like, because you have no idea what she's going to say. Thanks for the call, appreciate it. We come back, more phone calls, and Pete Futak will give us the over and unders on all the teams. He's also predicted every single game in college football. There is an upset I have to ask him about. One fan base is going to love it, and another fan base in the SEC will go, Pete, you're out of your mind. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And SEC college football predictions for every game. That's more than I want, but I do want to know about a couple of them. Pete Futak joining us. Always great to say hello to Pete. It's been a while since we've had the college football news columnist on. Pete, thank you for making time. Good afternoon. And what in the world have you been doing since we last visited?
Oh, please. Thank you for having me on. I'm now ready for college football again. This is the time of year when I come on with you, it's like, all right, college basketball's fun, NFL draft, nice, but okay, it's coming. As soon as the draft is over, it's full on pivot, and I'm already kind of there. But just being on your show, all of a sudden, like, all right, now it's time to step up game and get back in the college football world already.
Well, Pete, you got a lot to chew on here. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, expectations. These are the college football news projected standings. You got Alabama 11-1. We just had Brian Kelly on 10-2. A&M 8-4. Georgia, Tennessee on the other side. Florida with 8-4. That is the one I want to ask you about, because you are probably the highest on Florida that I have found.
And I was there last year too. And the thing about these, not to, you know, torpedo anything here, but we still don't know who the quarterbacks are for any of these guys. We still don't know the depth charts, the transfer portals, all that. It's kind of going off of just schedules, timing, and everything else. And it's the assumption that, yeah, Florida's a little rough still, but were they the team that showed enough and has the talent enough to have beaten a Utah and get away with that like last year? Or are they going to struggle and be as inconsistent like they were? We have an 8-4 to start, basically because you do have the Charlottes and Vanderbilts of the world.
But Pete, here's what I don't understand. You have Florida beating Tennessee, am I correct?
The home game, and that falls into the category of Tennessee, where the assumption is Tennessee's going to have to lose somewhere a couple times early in the season. The offense might not be quite clicking yet. Home game, that's a pure home game pick for Florida there.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because later in the year, do you not have Tennessee beating Georgia?
Yeah, that's the one that also kind of goes to the category of when's the right timing. So it's really mostly at this point about look at the schedules, look where you have to, again, SEC. On any day, anybody could beat anybody else. We're not getting, like last year, who saw the Texas A&M drop out? But at some point, any given Saturday sort of thing. So when it comes to Tennessee and Georgia, second to last game of the year, home game, it's kind of that point where Georgia probably has just about everything wrapped up because they don't play much of anybody before that. That just seems like one of those moments, kind of like Tennessee-Alabama last year, that if Georgia is going to lose along the way, that seems to like the most obvious one that they would really have a shot at, because they're going to be double-digit favorites against everybody else.
Yeah, can I say with a high degree of authority, you don't sound like you really believe that, though. You're just looking for something, right?
Well, not just looking for something, but this just makes sense. Is that it just, again, look at how the season goes on. Georgia's obviously better than Tennessee. Georgia's number one team in the country. They should be number one without much of a hesitation. So by that time of the year, again, kind of the same thought process that how long is it going to take Tennessee to get back to the level they were at last year? And that's sort of why, okay, early in the season on the road against Florida, sort of makes sense that becomes one of their losses. And then late in the year, that seems like one of those moments where, again, just kind of projecting if Georgia has a loss somewhere, that is where it's going to be. And so, again, not quite knowing who the starting quarterbacks are for either side, projecting the late November, that would be the one moment Georgia loses and goes 11-1 and goes off and rips up everybody else.
Let's talk about Alabama for a second. You have them at 10.5. That sounds about right. They, we're talking later to an ESPN guy who has Alabama ranked number 2 in their football sure. power index. So give us, without knowing who the quarterback is going to be, unless you know, what are your thoughts on this Alabama team?
First of all, how do they not go into that NIL water, dip in that NIL water and get a superstar? I mean, if you think about, look at this amazing run. I mean, we're always like, okay, you won a national championship with Jake Coker. What would happen if you had an NFL star? And then what'd they do? They go Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, Bryce Young. That's about as strong a 4 quarterback stretch as you'll ever get. So and Bryce Young pulled their tails out of the fire several times last year. So they are. It does going to matter when it comes to quarterback. But again, schedule. I mean, where on this schedule do you see them probably losing? Maybe at Texas A&M, maybe at Mississippi State. If they could take care of home, just about all their big games are home. I mean, Tennessee, Texas. I mean, that's kind of about it, unless there's some sort of big upset coming somewhere else. So, again, the quarterback's going to matter, but that defense looks like it's going to be, at least the early reports, that it is going to be stronger than it was last year. It's certainly going to be talented enough, and it's going to be right there in the mix. And, again, the schedule, considering Texas is a home game, just doesn't seem all that bad for a team that at the very least is top 5 overall, if not top 2, like you mentioned.
No, I agree. I mean, last year they lost 2 road games at fairly predictable places in a normal year, but Alabama has not had normal years really for about 15 to 20 years. So that's why I think we were all in such shock. So as you look at the SEC, is there anything that you think could be a big surprise other than maybe Florida going 8-4? What else strikes you?
Does Texas A&M bounce back? I mean, the talent is there. And if you look across the college football landscape, it's not like the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is loaded with quarterbacks. They don't have a lot else, but they've got quarterbacks everywhere. SEC doesn't have that. So in the absence of, let's say, whoever Alabama's quarterback is going to be, obviously Tennessee's still trying to finalize that. Georgia's still trying to finalize that. So you don't have sure thing superstar quarterbacks. Maybe this is the year where Texas A&M, who has not been able to, keep up the pace when it comes to the offense and quarterbacks, does have all that talent that starts to kick in and it just starts to be better. Maybe not national championship better, but good enough where they can be in range again where it looks like they right the ship. The other team, South Carolina. They showed the firepower last year. That is the quarterback coming back in Spencer Rattler, who's around college football for his 19th year. They've got enough of an offense. They've got enough of a buzz. The coaching staff seems like they've got everything on the right track. And again, the schedule isn't horrible. I mean, you're assuming losses at Georgia and Tennessee. So those are the people. Everybody else pretty much comes to Columbia. So overall, it'll be a pretty good year, and it comes down to whether or not they can beat Clemson at home or not. But that seems like one of those teams that's going to lose predictably on the road, like you said, and then pretty much take care of everything else.
It seems at first glance, or maybe at long glance, that the SEC outside of four schools is really a bunch of 6-6, 7-5, 8-4, and one team being better or inferior are going to dictate what happens the rest of the way.
Yeah, and the problem with all that is it's kind of hard to, like, give the SEC the credit it totally deserves, because then everyone gets to the bowl season. It's like, oh, well, see, this team wasn't that great. Meanwhile, they, you know, either have a bunch of their players opt out, or they just, you know, they're not up for whatever game it is. But meanwhile, all these teams, like you said, the 6-6 and 7-5 teams, they can hang. I mean, like, look, Missouri had Georgia in trouble last year. I mean, you're going to have eight games like that. Texas A&M, as bad as it was, came down to a final play against Alabama. So you're right. There's a lot of these 6-6, 7-5 teams. I mean, just, again, Georgia, you look at that talent coming back, look at their schedule. It would be just a massive shock if they don't have one of the spots in the college football playoff locked up already. But you know what? This year is going to be interesting, too, because all these other conferences have that a little bit as well. I mean, try to figure out the Big 12 with all these new teams coming in, and Texas and Oklahoma still around. I mean, that's another one where, unless you have some shocker like a TCU, everyone there is going to be like, you know, between 9-3 and 6-6. Pete, you know, again, with the Pac-12, the parity is going to be there all over the board.
Pete, before you go, outside of Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama, I mean, I realize we're just it's a grab bag here, but who is the next team that could make it? Is it Southern Cal with Caleb Williams, Michigan, Ohio State? You like Michigan?
Michigan, yes. Who could get Michigan in terms of getting in and actually being able to play? They're going to still, their lines are still good. They still got enough skill guys there. The up and coming teams to watch out for, LSU certainly one of them. Penn State is loaded. Penn State was very, very good last year, and they just upgraded at quarterback with Drew Aller. That is going to be one dangerous team. But, again, they got to deal with Ohio State and Michigan. And then one more team, I'm really curious to see what Texas does. If they can keep everyone healthy, I know everyone's all on the Arch Manning train. Quinn Ewers is a player. I mean, they've got Xavier Worthy back. He was hurt for most of last year. That offense under Sarkisian might explode. So that's another one of those teams. If they can somehow pull off something big against Alabama, then game on. But right now, after those top three, I'd probably go Michigan, Penn State. I'd probably say USC, because that offense is going to be even better with Cliff Kingsbury helping out the offense. And then Texas right after that.
Pete Futak with enough to get confused by, but it's also an indicator the season is on its way. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit later on with Bill Conley about the FPI. How in the world did that come out the way it did with Georgia not being at the top? Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back, and Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul, what's shaking, brother?
Bubba, we are doing great. Thank you.
You got Randy in there today?
Randy's, Randy works a three-day week. You don't want to push him too hard.
Yeah. He's semi-retired anyway.
He's already retired. This is just a hobby for him.
Oh, I know, yeah. Yeah, he just comes in there to have fun with you every day.
That's the only reason I come in, too.
Yeah, hey, what was that boy's name that called in? Was it Ken from Alabama that Jim got so tore up about?
That was Ken, yes.
Yeah, Jim, just calm down, buddy. Everybody, all these fans, they get caught up in in a lot of this stuff. And honestly, Paul, after listening to that call, we live with information overload about this college football. You've got all these podcasters, 247, Barstool, and that's where I think a lot of these fans get these opinions from. And they just get overwhelmed with information, and basically they pump the fan bases up to think that, hey, we're going to win it all.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. But here's the problem.
I see why they do that.
That guy Ken, you're an Alabama fan, so what kind of information do you want? Do you want objective information, or do you want information that talks about everybody on the team that's great? So you go trolling around for specific sites, and then you see a highlight of your wide receiver making a catch in practice one day, and immediately you think the guy is good. Now, you haven't seen anything else because there's nothing to see. Nick Saban is not letting anybody see what's going on there.
That's right, Paul. A lot of it's clickbait. These podcasters tell these fans what they think they want to hear.
Of course.
And a lot of fans just absorb that, and that's how they feel going into the football season. But I'm going to promise you one fact. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Brian Kelly, Josh Heupel, they're not even going to know what kind of product they've got on the field until they get it on the field and battle test it. And, you know, the stars go out the window when the ball gets kicked off. And all these coaches can do is take the talent they have and prepare them the best they can, and then we go play football this fall. And I know your whole show is based on conjecture, procrastination. We all love to do it. It's a lot of fun. But, Jim, just don't take this so serious, buddy. I don't want him to end up like Heart Attack Jack and Shelby and stroke out on us over a crazy phone call. So,
hey, not that I'm a certified cardiologist, but if Jim hasn't had a heart attack by now, he's not going to have one. Seth is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Seth.
How are you, Bob?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just got a quick question. Alabama fan, but would you consider 11-2 season a bad year?
I think it depends. I think it entirely depends because a couple of years ago I would have said it is a bad season, but I think things are changing.
Right. Okay, well, I just had another perspective to look at. Everybody looks at this LSU game and Tennessee game, and on the last play of the game, let's just say we won those games and then lost the championship. Would they feel the same, these bandwagon Alabama fans?
No, I think everyone would have felt better about it. Now, I think that was the one missing component in the season. There was no Georgia game. So because Alabama never played Georgia, there was a feeling that it was an up-and-down year, although they almost got in the playoffs. They came in fifth. But the year before, you had the two games. So some Alabama fans hung their hat on the first one, and then they won the wrong game. But let's not say they won the wrong game. I just did. Alabama had to win that game. Without that game, they wouldn't have played Georgia for the championship. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Royce is up next in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
I'm so happy for Brian Kelly because had Brian Kelly had not turned that season around, it didn't look good in the beginning. And he ended up with a winning season. Boy, he was going to have to change them cowboy boots and his tone, his dialect. And he was going to have to put his hush puppies on him and get out of town, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, he really didn't. I think he had a pretty funny line about that when he said, it wasn't like I had a couple of years to turn this thing around. I mean, he's in his 60s. He's being paid $10 million a year. He was hired to win.
And he did. I'm happy for him. I'm happy. He can keep his boots on now.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about, I'm from Kentucky. I'm going to talk about them Wildcats real quick. Sacramento Kings. Sacramento, you can say yay or nay. Sacramento Kings are winning because they have a young, energetic bunch of players who are just flying up and down the court, and they're just a little bit more athletic than Golden State, aren't they?
Well, right now, it's not over yet, but it's certainly trending that direction. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. Expired is up next. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Well, you're great. That's awesome. Hey, that last guy you had on, I don't know, doing all the predictions and stuff, that may have been, he lost all relevance when he started talking about about Texas being in that next tier. And then he said, Quinn Ewers, or whatever that dude's name is a fantastic player. I don't know if he watched football last year. Matter of fact, he didn't.
Expired. Here was his problem, I think. You can't pick every game. I did that once. I was on one of our – when I started here, we're like off-season. And at some point, you just get overload. You cannot – because once you start looking for games to pick upsets, and that's not how you should do it. You should just but again, that's the new world of media. You have to – let's pick every game in April.
You're right. I agree. I just wanted to call and say that because that wasn't a very good take. And the other thing is the Fighting Texas Aggies are going to crush Alabama this year and LSU. Mark it down. My wife's going to rub your head in Knoxville. Life's good. Love you. See you.
Thank you. Can't wait. Chad in Hilton Head, place I wouldn't mind being right now. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I want to touch on 3 points. I'm a South Carolina fan. I'm going to give you a little grief. You don't talk about South Carolina much. And if you look what Beamer's done, I mean, Muschamp brought in the great recruits, but he never did anything. He was this great defensive mind. What Beamer's done, he came in with 37 scholarship players when he landed the job. We're now 5th to 7th in recruiting, depending on which site you look at. Finishing 8-4 last year, finishing, 7-6 the year before, and the guy's got us at 8-4. I still don't think if we went 8-4, that's a bad season. But my question to you is this. What is the difference between Beamer and Muschamp? Muschamp was this god coming out of Texas as a defensive coordinator. He went to Florida. He failed. He went to South Carolina. He failed. And had terrible defense in South Carolina. We didn't have a quarterback. Tell me the difference between those two. And why don't you talk about Carolina as much? Don't you think they're on the rise? Or have we not proven ourselves enough yet in the last 3 years?
Chad, I thought Shane Beamer did more in 8 days than any South Carolina coach has done probably since 2013. I mean, that was, beating Tennessee and Clemson, especially the Clemson game, was life-changing. And I give him all the credit, and I'm a huge fan, and we do talk to him occasionally and always enjoy the conversation. Muschamp was not a game coach. Too emotional, too erratic. He could recruit. He was a spectacular defensive mind. But once the game started, he wore his emotions on his sleeve. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Brian is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to know what you had to say about the Florida State LSU game September the 3rd. Mike Norvell's got a lot going there in Tallahassee, and Kelly's been known not to been able to win the big games, and I just wanted to see how you felt about that.
Well, I think it's a critically big game. I don't think LSU's season will ride on it, but I think Florida State could really continue on its way back. They're recruiting well. Norvell has a good staff. I like everything he's doing down there. I don't know how to predict that game right now, but it will matter on the national scene. It will matter a lot. Walker is up next. Hey, Walker. Walker, are you there? Walker is not there, and we will be back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've already had Coach Brian Kelly on. A couple more guests to go. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And welcome back as we talk to Walker next. Hello, Walker. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Sorry for the chopped phone connection there. I-Man called in last week and asked for some more compelling calls, so I hope this helps. I want to ask your opinion on which of your callers would be the best head football coach.
Yes. So who would your callers
do you think would be the best?
Okay, so of our main callers, who would be the best head coach? Is that what you're asking me?
That's correct.
Andre is good. He's got a very well-balanced approach to football. Let me think. Legend, absolutely. Handsome Joe. Jim, I think Jim, don't you think Jim would be a good coach? I mean, he would be fun to watch on the sideline.
I think Jim would be a good strength coach. He
could be the next Scott Cochran.
Yeah, I don't know if he's strong or not, but he could surely motivate some guys. I think he'd be good in there.
Now, I-Man, and maybe I'm saying this because it is, after all, 420. I don't think he would be very good.
Sure. And then
he would have a hard time staying, he wouldn't have to take a test if he was the coach, would he? No.
Matt would make a good yell leader as well.
Yeah, Matt would be excellent. I'm trying to think, is there anyone that we're missing? Those are some good candidates.
John from Louisville, I think, would have a cool head.
I think I'd prefer John as the athletic director.
Good point. But legend maybe for play-by-play. He gets really excited sometimes. I could see him with Jahmyr Gibbs running down the sideline, losing his mind. So that'd be fun.
Now,
if
you were coming up with like a coach in the 50s or 60s, Larry would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Not today, though.
Cigarette in his mouth on the sideline, maybe.
Yeah. Kind of old time, maybe somewhere in 1957 or something. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's call to Johnny B. in Alabama. Hello, Johnny B.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
After listening to some of these calls today, I'm real happy to have my picture on there, and I get to call a lot, but obviously y'all lost my address info because I didn't get my sack of weed, and it's 420, and some of these guys calling today I know has been smoking.
Yeah, so I wondered why we haven't heard from I-Man yet. He's probably,
Yeah, when you
taking a break
while
he's putting some Freon in somebody's air conditioning and heating.
We'd hope it's Freon. But anyway, enjoying the show, enjoyed the coach from LSU, and I think he's done an outstanding job. And the West is going to be tough. I mean, any way you look at it, the West is pretty much loaded top to bottom. It could be whoever emerges with a good quarterback is probably going to win the whole thing.
Well said. Will is up next, North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Do you think Johnny B. just calls in to see his picture on TV?
I could never honestly answer that question, but yes.
It's interesting. Your first caller said that Jim would be a great strength coach because he did win Mr. Universe against Arnold Schwarzenegger about 20 years ago.
It was convincing. And, it was convincing, too. It wasn't even close.
When Jim does call, are you like Tua and contemplate retirement immediately?
No, I'm a big fan of Jim. You know that.
Paul, it's time to get Josh hype on. I mean, what's the deal? Why is it taking this long to get Josh on?
I'm not really sure. We'll see if we can set that up. Let's continue with Jim next. In Georgia. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you, I am.
I listened to you yesterday with that Larry spewing all that hatred and stuff, and I thought about calling you today and talking about Georgia and Alabama, and, you know, I feel like Georgia is the team to beat this year, and Alabama's scared. We finally got them scared of us rather than us scared of them, and but I can understand the Alabama fans. You know, that's all they have in Alabama. They don't have pro teams. They don't have anything. So they get frustrated and disappointed when Alabama doesn't win at all. And, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but Jim, I disagree with that. I mean, Alabama has always won in football. This is going back to the 20s with the Rose Bowl team. And they just expect to win national championships. That's how they're built. They've won, 18, 19 national championships in the history.
Well, I understand that, but Georgia's played Alabama throughout the years, and they have a decent record against them. We've never really shied away from playing them like a lot of teams.
Well, no, I would agree. But they have three national championships. Alabama's had that in 6 years. We're right back.